Welcome to the fifth installment of an advanced overview of Hilchos Bishul B'Shabbos based off of Yosef Tzvi Rimon's Sefer Shabbos. In this year, we're going to discuss the concept of Bishul Acher Afiyah, which means cooking after baking. Just to clarify, cooking is preparing something to be edible using a liquid medium, whereas baking is preparing something for edibility using the medium of dry heat. At the end of this year, you should be able to answer at least the four following practical questions. First of all, are you allowed to dip biscuits into tea on Shabbos? Are you allowed to dip matzah, soup croutons, or challah into hot soup on Shabbos? Are you allowed to make black coffee on Shabbos? And finally, might there be some prohibition on heating up cooked meat on Shabbos? So, in order to understand these questions, let's understand the concept of Bishul Acher Afiyah, the potential problem of cooking after baking. In the last year, we saw that the Mishnah Daf Kuf Mehemet Beis explains that Ein Bishul Acher Bishul. There's no problem to recook things on Shabbos. However, we saw that according to Rashi and the Rabbeinu Yonah, and that's in fact how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that Yesh Bishul Acher Bishul B'davar Lach. There is a problem to recook a liquid on Shabbos. But what about baking something that was already cooked on Shabbos, or cooking something that was already baked? So the majority of Rishonim don't seem to think that there's an issue with cooking something that was already baked or baking something that was already cooked. However, Rabbi Eliezer Mimitz, the author of the Sefer Yireim, innovates that although there's no problem when it comes to a solid food of Bishul Acher Bishul, of recooking it, there is a problem of Bishul Acher Afiyah Oy Acher Tzliyah, of cooking after something after you've baked it or after you've roasted it. And similarly, there would be a problem with baking or frying after having cooked. The Yireim writes, V'chol davar shenizbashal a nefeh kol tzarkoi, anything that was fully cooked or baked, lachziroi b'klirishin l'chamemoi, oi litnoi b'tzad or mutter. To put it back into a klirishin to heat it up, or to put it next to the fire would be permissible. She called davar shenis bashal ay nasa called tzarkoi ein boi mishum bishul. She ein bishul acher bishul. Because anything that was cooked or processed fully, anything that was cooked or processed to the extent that needs to be, is no longer subject to the prohibition of cooking, because there's no concern of recooking something on Shabbos. Aval, the Reim innovates, Yesh Bishul Acher Tzli. There is a concern, there is a prohibition to cook something after it's been roasted, the Yesh Tzli Acher Bishul. And similarly, there would be a problem to roast something after it had been cooked. The Tani B'Sachim, Guzlutin B'Sachas B'Sachim, Rabbi Yesi Yomer, Yoitzin B'Rake Kashoroi Avaloi B'Mavoshol. Rabbi Yesi says that you can only fulfill the requirement to eat matzah on Pesach with a matzah that was soaked. But if you cooked the matzah, you haven't fulfilled the obligation to eat matzah on Pesach. Pirush, the Reim explains, Gabe matzah lechem ksiv. Matzah is called lechem. There's a requirement that matzah be lechem, that it be bread. The eina nikra lechem ela ofui v'lei mevushal. But it's only called bread if it's baked and not if it's cooked. Ushi bishaloi acher afiyasay. But if you cooked it after its baking, nikra mevushal, it's now called cooked, the yesh bishul acher afiyah, because cooking after baking is a significant process. Hu adinami, the same would apply, sloi v'acher kach bishloi, if you roasted something and then cooked it, the yesh bishul acher tzli, that cooking is significant after roasting. Ukeshem sheyesh bishul acher tzli v'afoi, and just as it's problematic to cook after having roasted or baked, so too it's problematic to roast after having cooked, because it's all one issue. So to summarize, according to the Reim, there's no problem if you recook something, but there is a problem if you cook something after it had been baked. And similarly, if you bake something after it had been cooked. The Reim proves the point based on Rav Yossi's teaching in the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Ma'al Famin Aleph, that you don't fulfill your obligation to eat matzah on Pesach with cooked matzah. According to the Yireim, Rav Yossi's ruling is based on the assumption that matzah needs to be defined as bread, poor man's bread, lechem oini. Rav Yossi holds that bread is only something that's baked, whereas matzah, once it's been cooked, loses its status as bread because the cooking removes the baked status. Based on this, the Rambam concludes that it's halachically significant to cook something that was once baked. And the cooking changes its status and removes its prior status as having been halachically considered baked. Therefore, according to the Rambam, if you cook something that had been baked on Shabbos, you violate the Isser of cooking on Shabbos. And therefore, he forbids you to put something cooked in a Kli Rishon, and perhaps even in a Kli Sheni, as we're going to explain. The Rav Yah, who was one of the Rambam's famous students, cites the Rambam and then rejects the Rambam's position. The Rav Yah writes, V'shamaiti mirabbeinu Eliezer mimitz. I heard from my teacher, Rav Eliezer of Mitz, he said that there's no issue of recooking something on Shabbos. And similarly, there's no issue to rebake something on Shabbos. There is, however, an issue with cooking after baking or baking after cooking. For example, to soak bread in a boiling liquid or to soak bread in soup would be an issue on Shabbos. Ukititnan, and he cites the Rambam's proof. Rabbi Yesi Omer, Yoitzin Birake Kasharoi Avoloi Bimavoshel. You fulfill the obligation to eat matzah on Pesach with a soaked piece of matzah, Avoloi Bimavoshel, but not once you've cooked it. Valachal Rabbi Yesi. And the Gemara there himself concludes that Locha follows Rabbi Yesi. But says the Rabbi Yah, Vilav Milsahi. He rejects the Rambam's proof and thereby rejects the conclusion. The Maisi Leib Perakets Mevarchim. Because this teaching of Rabbi Yesi is quoted in Mesachas Brachas in the sixth Perakets Brachas. Umaskinan in the Gemara there concludes, Ad kan lik Amr Rabbi Yesi el legabi matzah, the be'inon tamatzah piv vilako. The Rabbi Yesi's ruling that you can't fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach using cooked matzah is not a global rule about how we view foods, about how we view a food losing its baked status if you cook it, but is rather a specific din, a specific rule only by matzah, that matzah needs to have a certain taste. Matzah is required to have the taste of having been baked in an oven, and what's been cooked, it's lost that special matzah taste. So if that's the case, the Rav Yah concludes, cooked matzah is still considered bread. Cooking it doesn't remove its baked status. It only doesn't count for the mitzvah of eating matzah for a completely different reason, and that is it doesn't have the taste of matzah. It comes out then that the Rambam and the Rav Yah argued if there's a prohibition to cook something which had already been baked. What underlies their dispute? What underlies the machlokes? Seemingly, according to the Rav Yah, the primary problem with cooking on Shabbos is making something fit to eat. However, once something is fit to eat, there's no further issue of cooking it. And that's true even if you create different tastes or different qualities in the food over the process of different sorts of heating the food. The Rambam, however, disagrees, and we can understand his position in one of two ways. First, it's possible that he holds that a significant change in taste by the means of heat is considered bishul. Therefore, although it's the case that something was already made fit to eat, there's an issue of bishul here. So it might just be an issue of introducing a new quality to the food. Alternatively, you could say that the cooking removes the status of it having been baked, and therefore you've literally created something new. We saw earlier in the last year that the Rambam was machmir, the Rambam was stringent to say that you shouldn't put anything into a Kli Sheni, as in any uncooked food into a Kli Sheni, given that we don't know what things are Kali Abishal, we don't know which things cook easily and might cook inside of a Kli Sheni. The question is, does the Rambam hold that it would be forbidden also to put cooked things into a Kli Sheni, given that he says there's an issue of Bishal Acharafia? For example, would the Rambam take issue with putting a piece of challah into hot chicken soup? So here, there's conflicting textual evidence as to how the Rambam would answer this question. According to the old printings of the Rambam is machmir, the Rambam is stringent. He says, Hilkoch achrei shepi rashnu, sheyesh dover shemizbashal b'kli sheni, v'yesh bishul achar ofi v'tzali. Given that we've ruled that there is an issue or there is that which cooks inside of a kli sheni. And furthermore, there's a problem with cooking something that had been baked or roasted. The yesh tzli acher bishul, there's also an issue with roasting something after it had been cooked. Yizar odam shlo yitin pasafuya b'shabes af b'kli sheni. A person should be careful not to put cooked bread on Shabbos even into a kli sheni b'mokim shayad tzila d'spay. In a case where the kli sheni that you're putting the bread into is so hot that your hand would recoil from the heat of the liquid in the bowl. V'yemasakim. And if you in fact put challah in such a soup bowl or put any baked item into hot liquid in a kli sheni, chilel Shabbos, the person has violated Shabbos. V'chayshishani le'me chatos umiskil. And the Rambam says he's concerned that such a person would have to bring a korban, would have to bring a sin offering for having violated Shabbos. So according to this textual version of the Rambam, given that there's an issue of cooking after baking, the rule by baked items will be similar to things that had never been cooked, that you shouldn't put them in a kli sheni lest they cook in the kli sheni. The Smag and the Tor both quote this position of the Rambam, that according to the Rambam, they say, that there's a problem of putting bread into a kli sheni. Note, however, the Tor himself rejects the Rambam's position, but he does cite that this is the Rambam's position. So although the old prints of the Rambam throw both stringencies at us, meaning to say that both that there's an issue of cooking in a kli sheni, and that this issue would even apply to something which had been baked, the new printings of the Rambam seem to be more lenient. The Rambam says there, Hilkach yizar adam shliyitin pas afri b'shabes ella b'kli sheni. A person shouldn't put their baked bread into a kli rishon, but only into a kli sheni b'makom sheyad zoledespo, in a case where the liquid is so hot that your head would recoil from it. So according to this version, the Rambam was stringent and said that there is an issue of bishul acher afia. And the Rambam does say that there is a problem of putting uncooked things into a kli sheni. But he didn't combine his two stringencies, and he didn't forbid putting cooked things into a kli sheni. This coheres the position of the Smak, who quotes the Rambam and says, "Umiteich kach yesh lesser loseis past b'seich kli sheni reseich." For this reason, we should forbid putting bread into a boiling kli sheni, implying that the issue is only if you put the bread into a kli rishon and not into a kli sheni. The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Yud Ches Hey rules, Yesh Misha Oimer, the bedavar anefel ein nitzle, im bishle achar kach b'mashke yesh by mishum bishul, the also litin pas afilu b'kli sheni shayatzel at this point, the yesh matir. There is a position that says that if something was baked or roasted, if you then went ahead and cooked that thing in liquid, you will have violated the prohibition of cooking on Shabbos, and it's forbidden to put bread even into a kli sheni, which your hand would recoil from. But some authorities are lenient. The first opinion that the Shulchan Aruch quotes is that of the Rambam, according to the version of the Smag and the Tor, which forbids putting baked things even into a kli sheni. Afterwards, the Shulchan Aruch writes, V'yesh matir. The question is, which lenient position is the Shulchan Aruch referring to when he says V'yesh matir? Is he referring to the version of the Smak in the Rambam, which says that it would be permissible to put bread into a kli sheni, but not into a kli rishon? Or perhaps the Shulchan Aruch is following the position of the Rav Yah, who's quite lenient, and says there's no issue of bishul acher afia, of cooking after baking at all, and it would be permissible to put bread even into a kli rishon. So the Paiskim, the Halachic Decisors, argued on how to understand the yesh matirin in the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama understands yesh matirin to be saying that yesh matirin, some allow you to put bread, cooked bread, into a hot kli sheni. So the Rambam understands, like the Smak, that fundamentally there is a problem of bishul acher afia. There is a problem of cooking something after it had been baked. But there's no need to be stringent about this when it comes to a kli sheni. And that's as well the Mishnah Berurah understands yesh matirin. He explains that according to the yesh matirin, fundamentally a kli sheni doesn't cook. In contrast, the Be'er Gola cites the Mordechai in the name of the Rav Yoh as the source of the Yesh Matir of the Shulchan Aruch. Meaning to say that the Be'er Gola holds, the Shulchan Aruch is saying, that there's never a concern of cooking after baking, a Bishul Achar Afiyah, and therefore it would be permissible to put bread even into a Klirishim. And that's also how the Prima Gadim understands and the Shutei Chavadas. So practically speaking then, how does the Shulchan Aruch paskin? So Rav Adi Yosef in the Shutei Chavadas writes, Shulchan Aruch rules like the Rav Yoh. That there's never a concern of Bishul Achar Afiyah, there's never a concern of cooking something after been baked, even in a Kli Rishon. According to Rav Adi Yosef, when the Shulchan Aruch brings two opinions in the name of a Yesh Omrim, the halacha follows the latter Yesh Omrim. Furthermore, says Rav Adi, the first position that Shulchan Aruch was brought in the name of a Yesh Misha Omer, someone says, whereas the more lenient position is brought in the name of a Yesh Matirin. There are those, in plural, who permit putting baked goods into a Kli Rishon. Further evidence that the Shulchan Aruch, in fact, does paskin like the Rav Yoh comes out from the Beis Yosef, where the Beis Yosef says that the Rav Yoh's question on the Yireim, which we discussed before, is in fact a good question. However, there are some Sephardi poskim who hold that we should take the more stringent opinion of the Shulchan Aruch and say that you shouldn't even put bread into a cliché. What's the opinion of the Rambam? So after the Rambam wrote, the Yesh Matirin in Shulchan Aruch means to say that you'd only be allowed to put bread into a Kli Sheni, but not into a Kli Rishon, the Rambam writes further, the Yesh Makilin afilu b'Kli Rishon. Some are lenient even in the case of a Kli Rishon. The Noagu Lizar lechatchila shalitin pas afilu b'Kli Sheni kol zman shayad sila display. But the Rambam says, even though there are some who are lenient, which is the position of the Rav Yoh, that you could put bread even into a Kli Rishon, The minog in Ashkenaz is the Ramal, is to be stringent and not to put bread even in a Kli Sheni, so long as your hands would recoil from the heat of the Kli Sheni. The Mishnah Berurah explains the concern of putting things in the Kli Sheni flows from the fact that we're concerned about Kali Abishul, and therefore you shouldn't put anything in a Kli Sheni because it might cook in a Kli Sheni. And the Chaznish holds that there's special grounds for concern about Kali Abishol by something that was baked, because since it was baked, it was softened, and he holds it will therefore be more subject to being affected by the hot temperature of the Kli Sheni. La'alacha, Sfardim who follow Rav Adi Yosef would be lenient to put bread even into a Kli Rishon, whereas Sfardim who follow the Ben Ish Chai will be more stringent and won't put bread even into a Kli Sheni. Ashkenazim will not put bread into a Kli Rishon or into a Kli Sheni, but they will be lenient by a Kli Shlishi. That's how the Mishnah Berurah paskins. What happens if Bidyeved? What happens if after the fact you already put something that was baked into a Kli Rishon? So the Mishnah Berurah tells us in the Mishnah Niches, Sivkat Menvav, that the food isn't considered forbidden and you would be permitted to eat it. So now let's answer some practical questions. Is it permissible to dip biscuits in tea, or to put pieces of bread in soup? If your soup is in a Kli Sheni, or your tea is in a Kli Sheni, then we saw that Ashkenazim and Sfardim who follow the Ben Ish Chai are going to say this is a problem, and therefore you would not be allowed to put the bread into the soup, or the biscuit into the tea. If, however, we're dealing with a Kli Shlishi, then it would be permissible to put your bread into the soup, or your biscuit into the tea. We saw that, practically speaking, if you put the soup into your bowl using a ladle, then we could say that the soup bowl is considered a Kli Shlishi, and the ladle is considered a Kli Sheni, and therefore it would be permissible to put the bread into your soup. Regarding soup nuts and croutons, the Achronim argued about the status of tigun, of frying. If frying is considered like bishul, like cooking, or tzliya, like roasting. In the second version of the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he rules that tigun is kitzliya, tigun is like roasting, and for that reason, Bishul achar tigun, cooking after roasting, would be forbidden. However, commercially made croutons in the contemporary era are made through deep frying, not normal frying. And deep frying is considered to be cooking according to everybody. Therefore, if you purchase commercially produced croutons, which are deep fried, they'd be considered cooked, and it would be permissible to put them even into a Kli Rishon. Another practical application of Bishul achar afiyah comes up in making coffee on Shabbos. We spoke about instant coffee in the Bishul Achar Bishul Shir, but what about coffee grounds? What about coffee which had never been previously cooked? So coffee beans or coffee grounds are roasted. So if you put them in hot water, you would now be cooking them, according to the position of the Reim, who says that there's an issue of bishul achar afia. And we saw that there are more rules like this, that there would be a problem of bishul achar afia. So for that reason, Ashkenazim and Sfaradim who are machmer, like the Ben Ish Chai, would not be able to prepare black coffee, coffee grounds, even in a kli sheni, but only in a kli shlishi. And this would only be according to those Ashkenazim who follow Rav Moshe and say that preparing foods in a kli shlishi is not a problem. But according to the Chaznish, is more stringent and says that by a kli shlishi, he takes issue with the fact that kli shlishi is still hot. You would have no recourse and wouldn't have any permissible way to prepare coffee grounds, black coffee on Shabbos. In contrast, Rav Adi Yosef is very lenient, and he in principle would even allow you to put ground coffee directly into the urn, because he holds that there's no issue of bishul achar afia based on the position of the Ravia. And the Rav Avadia would be similarly lenient when it comes to other powders like ground cocoa. Instant coffee, however, as we've already seen, has a considerably more lenient ruling, given that instant coffee had once been cooked and then dehydrated. Therefore, in principle, you'd be able to prepare it even in a kli rishon. However, it's best to be more stringent and only make it in a kli sheni, given that the coffee powder melts, in which case it looks like a case of bishul achar bishul recooking a davar lach. That was a lot of details. Let's briefly review. Is there an isser, is there a prohibition of cooking after having baked, of bishul achar afia? So according to the Rav Yah and most Rishonim, there's no prohibition of bishul achar afia, of cooking after baking. And therefore, it would be permissible to put something that was baked, like a piece of bread, even into a kli rishon, as in, even into a pot of soup that was recently removed from the fire. The rationale being that something that's mevushal, that something that was cooked, is considered an edible food. And the fact that you change it with some other means of heat, and now it has different consistency and different taste, isn't forbidden. Among contemporary halachic decisors, Rav Avadi Yosef is a little bit of an outlier here in accepting the Rav Yah's position. He actually reads the Shulchan Aruch to be going in accordance with the Rav Yah, and therefore, according to Sfaradim, who follow Rav Adi Yosef, it would be permissible to put bread directly into a kli rishon, and similarly, it would be okay to put roast coffee, which had never been before cooked, into a kli rishon. On the other side of this question of whether there's an isser, whether there's a problem with bishul achar afia, we have the Reim. And the Reim says forbidden to cook something which had previously been baked. The reason being that either the cooking removes its status as having been baked, or alternatively, changing its taste via the means of heat is considered to be cooking. The smack, and this is in fact how the correct textual reading of the Reim does in fact seem to be, takes a more lenient reading of the Reim, and says the Reim only ever forbade putting something into a kli rishon, as in putting a baked object into a kli rishon, but it would be permissible to put bread into a kli sheni. However, the Smag and the Tor both read the Iranian to be saying that the prohibition would be even to put a baked item into a kli sheni, just as the Iranian is machmir in a kli sheni by anything that had not been before cooked. So it would come out according to this that you wouldn't be allowed to put bread into a kli sheni. The Ramah, all Ashkenazi poskim, and the Sfaradi poskim, the Ben Ish Chai, rule like this more stringent reading of the Iranian. And therefore, they say that you would not be able to put a baked food into your hot soup unless your hot soup is in a kli shlishi. A final issue worth discussing in the context of bishul achar afia, or afia achar bishul, of cooking after baking, or baking after cooking, is the issue of reheating cooked meat on Shabbos. Let's say you had made a beef stew, and the beef stew had been hot Friday night, but now it's cooled off, and you want to reheat it on Shabbos day. So we saw the Reim said that it's problematic to bake something after it's been cooked. Based on this, the Mishnah Berurah writes, V'lochein osur litein davar shenizbas shel etz al esh b'li reitiv. For this reason, it's forbidden to put something that was cooked by the fire without sauce. V'lav davka etz al esh, du'adin b'chol mokim sh'yuchal itzalois mechem atanur. The issue is not only putting something next to the fire, but putting something into any place where it could be roasted given the heat of the oven. V'lochein, tzarich lizar shaloi lahachsir basha mevushal b'li reitev l'teich hatanur b'mkoyim hachoyim shayad zilad zbay. Therefore, you need to be very careful not to place cooked meat without sauce into an oven in a place where it's hot enough such that the meat would heat up to Yad Selev Zbay, hot enough to handle the coil from. Vafilu im yamidenu al kederim afsekis. And the same would apply even if you put the meat on an intervening pot. Usually an intervening pot would remove the issue of cooking, but in this case, the Mishnah Berurah says it's an issue. So to summarize, the Mishnah Berurah is saying that if you heat up meat which had previously been cooked, as in the meat had been heated up using a liquid medium when you first prepared it, and now you're heating it up without any sauce, you're violating the issur of tzliya achar bishul, of roasting after cooking. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchsa concurs with the Mishnah Berurah's Chumrah here, and he says, Basar mevushal, ein la nichay al gabi michsa shal kdeira, ha'imed this al gabi ha'ish. If meat is cooked, you shouldn't put it on top of the cover of a pot that's on the fire. Because the cooked meat will now be roasted by the heat. This approach to the Mishnah Berurah and the Shmir Shabbos Kilchsa leads us to a very serious chumrah, to a very serious stringency. Based on what we learned previously, it would have seemed that you'd be able to heat up a dish on Shabbos so long as you took the sauce out of the dish, in order not to recook a liquid which had cooled. However, according to the Mishnah Berurah, it seems that it would be forbidden to reheat a dish which had been cooked before Shabbos, because you might violate the issue of tzliya achar bishul, of roasting after cooking. So the only things you'd ever be allowed to reheat would be things which had been previously cooked, let's say like burekas or pastries. Practically, however, most people don't follow the stringency of the Shmir Shabbos Kilchsa and the Mishnah Berurah. And the widespread minhag by many from Jews is to be lenient and to reheat dishes which had been cooked even without sauce on Shabbos. So meaning, let's say that you had a meatball stew and the meatballs had been cooked in a lot of sauce. So you'd be able to just take the meatballs and eat them up. Or at least this seems to be the widespread practice. So what justifies this practice? So seemingly, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that it's okay. In Siman Shin Yurcheh Sif Tesval, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Dover Shin is Bashal called Tzarki, something which had been completely cooked, the Hu Yavish, and it is now dry, She'ein Be'marak, meaning to say that there's no sauce in it, there's no liquid in it, Muter La Nichay Kenegin HaMadura, it's permissible to put this dish by the fire, Afilu B'makim She'yad Se'ledesba, even in such a case where the dish, which is yavesh, which is dry, let's say your piece of chicken, your meatballs, that sauce, would hit cooking temperature, would hit a point that your hands would recoil from touching them. So it seems in the Shulchan Aruch's ruling, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that you're allowed to put a davar yavesh, you're allowed to put a solid food next to the fire, even though it's going to cause it to get roasted. It would seem the Shulchan Aruch rules that ein tzliya achar bishul. He's not concerned with the Reim's issue of tzliya achar bishul. The Bir Halacha, however, asks in the Shulchan Aruch, Tzarech Iyun, this ruling of the Shulchan Aruch needs to be understood. Hala'il b'sifhei mevi das Reim. In Sifhei, the Shulchan Aruch brought the opinion of their aim, the Sefer Reim. V'ayin sham magen Avraham, d'ledait de'wadin d'yesh tzli achar bishul. V'eich matriach b'stam. Meaning to say that the Shulchan Aruch quoted the Sefer Reim's stringency in Sifhei. He said that there was an issue of tzli achar bishul, or at least said that you should be concerned for this issue. So the question is, why here in Sif Tezvav is he discounting it? So the simple answer is that the Shulchan Aruch did in fact bring the two opinions, but he ruled like the more lenient opinion that there is no issue of bishul achar afiya at all. And therefore, in Sif Tezvav, he continues the same line of reasoning, and he rules there's no issue with tzliach or bishul. Once you've done one cooking process, doing a different cooking process to the food is not going to be problematic on Shabbos. And that's, in fact, how Rav Avad Yosef understands the Shulchan Aruch in Shuti Chavadas, Chelik Beis Simin Mem Dalet. So we see the simple way to deal with the dissonance between the Shulchan Aruch and the Reim is to say that the Shulchan Aruch simply does not accept the Reim. However, the Acharonim propose four alternative resolutions to this dissonance between the Reim and the Shulchan Aruch, in which they allow the Shulchan Aruch to retain the Reim's position either partially or fully, while at the same time saying that you could reheat meat on Shabbos. Let's start with the opinion of the Minchas Kohen, who says that although it's the case that there's an issue of bishul achar afiyah, of cooking after baking, there is no issue of afia utzlia achrei bishul, of baking or roasting after cooking. So although it's the case that the Reim thought that going in both orders would be problematic, whether you cook after you bake, or whether you bake after you cook, it would be problematic, the Michas Kohen is suggesting that it's only problematic to cook after having baked, and not to bake after having cooked. So according to this, if you cooked your meat before Shabbos, you would be allowed to reheat it via the medium of dry heat on Shabbos. Rav Rimon suggests that perhaps the rationale behind the Menachas Kohen is that Bishul is the strongest cooking process. And although it's the case that after you did afia or tzli, after you did baking or roasting, Bishul will still be significant, once you've done Bishul, the transformation of the food has been so total and so radical that any further processing of food wouldn't be significant. So that's resolution one about how we could retain the Ureim on the one hand while still being lenient, like the Shulchan Aruch, with reheating meat on Shabbos without sauce that had previously been cooked. The second resolution comes from the Igle Tal. The Igle Tal says that it's all about intention. And if your intention is to heat up, but not to roast, then you're okay. Reading the Igle Tal inside, in Ofes of Katan Yuches, he writes, since originally the food was cooked and now you're roasting it, the chashiv nami bishul, that roasting is part of the category of cooking, you're not considered to have done a forbidden labor on Shabbos unless the cooking or the roasting that you do after the other process would make the food better than it had originally been. Achlinin Shabbos, the melechs machshavas hashotero, ukshiyi etzli, v'yirotz laseisim mevushol, kevon shalafi machshavtei, habishol, tovli mitzli, chayev. By Shabbos, the relevant criterion for whether or not you're considered to have transgressed Shabbos is doing an intentional action. So, if you had a roasted piece of meat, and you wanted the meat specifically to be cooked, and you cook it because it's more tasty for you to have this meat cooked than roasted, then the Igle Tal says you would have transgressed Shabbos. Aval, hamayimid mevushal keneged hamadura lechamimai. But somebody who puts a baked dish next to the fire in order to heat it up, loyli yabshu utzarich ak lechimu. Your intention is not to dry it out, but rather only to heat it up. So lechashiv se'asam leches bishul, it's not considered that you've done the mlach of bishul, because you're not trying to transform it, your intention is merely to heat it. So once again, the Igle Tal is telling us a rule of melachas. Melachas are fundamentally about intentionality. And here, the Shulchan Aruch could agree with the Ureim that bishul achar tzliya is an issue. But if you're merely putting your meat next to the stove in order to heat it up, your intention is not to roast it, your intention is merely to heat it. And that wouldn't be transgressing a Shabbos violation. The Chazon Ish gives us a third answer. According to the Chazon Ish, it would be okay to reheat meat on Shabbos, even though the meat had been cooked, because objectively, when you reheat meat, the effect the reheating has on the meat is not that it makes it taste as if it were roasted, but it rather only makes it taste warm. So it seems to Rav Rimon that according to the Chazon Ish, the primary issue in Bishul Achar Afiyah, according to the Ureim, would be adding some new quality to the dish. But here you haven't added any new quality, so you haven't transgressed the Melach of Bishul. Finally, we have a fourth reason, also suggested by the Chazon Ish, as to why it is that reheating your meat is not going to be a violation of Tzli Achar Bishul, of roasting after cooking, even if we would say that Tzli Achar Bishul is a problem. The Chazon Ish writes, the Efshur, the Tzli Kedar, that roasting in a pot, kidin bishul in yinzeh, is considered like cooking in this context. Vidav ketzli al gecholim, and only roasting on coals, oy al shvud, or on a spit, yesh betzli azu acher bishul. Would there be a concern of roasting after cooking? The Chazon Ish is telling us that given that you're not heating up the meat on the fire itself, but only inside of a pot, your action doesn't have the status of tzliya, your action doesn't have the status of roasting. The Gemara Pesachim explains that heating something inside of a pot without water is not called ordinary tzliya, it's not called ordinary roasting, rather it's called tzli keder, roasting in a pot. And for the purposes of a Korban Pesach, of cooking your Korban Pesach, that would be considered bishul, it would be considered cooking, and it would not be considered roasting. The pasuk in Parshas Boy by Karim Pesach tells us, you shouldn't eat your Karim Pesach raw, nor should you have it cooked in water. Ki im tzli esh, only roasted by fire. And putting something into a pot as opposed to an open fire is not considered tzli esh, it's considered tzli keder. It's considered a weaker or inferior form of roasting, which isn't even roasting for the halachic purposes of a Karim Pesach. So the Chazanish contends that even if you'll accept the Urim and say there's an issue of Tzliya Achar Bishol, this would not violate Tzliya Achar Bishol so long as your dish is inside of a pot and not directly exposed to the fire, to coals. So it comes out that although the Mishnah Berurah and the Shmiras Shabbos Kilchasa were quite stringent, and they wouldn't allow you to reheat chicken or meat which had been cooked before Shabbos on Shabbos, the Minchas Kohen, the Iglei Tal, and the Chazanish all think that we can accept the Urim and say that Tzliya Achar Bishul, that roasting after cooking, is problematic, but nonetheless, reheating your meat on Shabbos would not stand in violation of Tzliya Achar Bishul, of roasting after cooking, and everyone paskins that it is in fact mutter, it's permitted to reheat meat on Shabbos. And you shouldn't be concerned with this issue of Tzliya Achar Bishul. So this concludes our discussion of the possible concern of Bishul Acher Thia, of cooking after baking. So let's review. We saw that there is a machlekes between most Rishonim and the Urim. Most Rishonim and the Rav Yah support this against the teacher of the Urim, say that once something's been baked, it's considered cooked, and it would be okay to put a baked item, like a piece of challah, into a Kli Rishon. The Urim, however, innovated that something that was baked is not considered cooked, and you can't put it into a Kli Rishon, and it's controversial what the Urim would have thought about putting into a Kli Sheni or Kli Shlishi, but it's quite possible he even take issue with putting it into a Kli Sheni. The Rama is stringent, and the Rama says that you shouldn't put anything, even a baked item, into a Kli Sheni, and therefore, according to the Rama, you wouldn't be allowed to put challah into a soup bowl, which is the Kli Sheni, but if your soup bowl is a Kli Shlishi, it would be permissible to put challah into the soup bowl. So for most contemporary soup bowls, if you're putting the soup into the bowl with a ladle, it would be permitted to eat challah in your soup bowl, so long as the ladle was not left in the soup for a while. And that's the generally accepted psak. However, Avad Yosef argues that Shulchan Aruch rules that it would be permitted to put a baked item even into a Kli Rishon. So you'd be able to put bread, if you wanted to, directly into your soup pot and serve the soup that way. Now, another halachic nafkamida that comes out from this machlokas between the Urim and the Rav Yah, and then telescoping into Ravad Yosef versus most achronim, is that according to Ravad Yosef, you would be allowed to make black coffee on Shabbos, and even be able to put black coffee, as in coffee which had never before been cooked, which had never before been processed, but had only been roasted, as in coffee grounds, you'd be allowed to put that directly even into your urn, directly into a Kli Rishon. Whereas most achronim, following the Rama, would say that this would be a problematic thing to do, so you'd only ever be able to put coffee into a Kli Shlishi. And we saw that according to Chazanish, who holds that you should be stringent by Kli Shlishi, you would never be allowed to create dark coffee, as in coffee which is not instant coffee, coffee which has not been cooked before, on Shabbos. Finally, we saw the Urim's view might lead to an additional serious stringency, and that is, the Urim would not allow you to heat up meat, or anything for that matter, which had been cooked before Shabbos, and now you're heating it up via the medium of a dry heat, and that's in fact what the Mishnah Berurah and the Shmiras Shabbos Kilchasa infer from the Urim, and they rule Allah. However, Rav Rimon quotes the prevalent practice to be lenient, and to heat up meat, dry meat on Shabbos, which had previously been cooked, and that's for one of four rationales. The first is the Minchas Kohen, who says that it might be the case that there is only a concern of cooking something after having baked it, but not baking it or roasting it once it had already been cooked. In this case, it's been cooked, now you're roasting it, and roasting, at least if Rimon understands the Minchas Kohen to be saying, is a less serious process, is a less problematic process. Next, we saw the Iglei Tal, who says that it's all a matter of intentionality. And when you heat up meat, you're not intending to roast it, you're intending to heat it up. So your intention defines the property of the action, and the action is not considered to be a malacha since you're not intending to roast it. Next, we saw the Chazan Ish, who didn't offer a subjective answer like the Iglei Tal, but offered a more objective answer. He said, if you heat up meat, qualitatively, it's not going to taste the same as if you roasted it. And finally, we saw the Chazon Ish giving a more technical answer based on the Gemara in Psachim, which is that roasting is only considered putting something on an open fire. However, if something is inside of a container, if something's inside of a pot, even if there's no liquid there, it's still considered a bishul, and then you'd have bishul achar bishul, re-cooking a davar yavesh and not sliya, because we see the yisoid, we see the rule in the Gemara Psachim that sli kedar, that roasting something in a pot, is considered to be bishul and not sliya.